Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Let's talk about over the weekend, because it was the end of Ramadan. There were celebrations that were supposed to be, it was supposed to be a celebratory day, but in North Philadelphia, those Ramadan celebrations actually took a violent turn. So Philadelphia police say a dozen people are under arrest, 11 of them juveniles, underage, tragically here, and all were cited for various violations, mostly disorderly conduct, as well as just a failure to disperse for crowd disbursement when police were just trying to do that with large crowds. So we have Philadelphia police working with Temple University police. They responded to a shooting. This was on the 1400 block of Cecil B. Moore. Happened around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, yesterday afternoon. Happened in a parking lot right next to an alleyway. 15-year-old was shot in the arm. So that 15-year-old in the hospital this morning reported in serious condition. And then families were all inside. They were gathering inside the Liacora Center, actually. They were the ones celebrating the end of Ramadan. So it's unfortunate that we had this. It's supposed to be a time of peace, supposed to be a religious and faith-based, family-based celebration. That shooting remains under investigation. But the dozen people, they are under arrest. And most of them, like I say, juveniles. So they'll be processed through the juvenile court system.
So they'll be protected. We won't get identities or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line there. So we have that one going on. And we also had, many gathering. It was a big weekend. Our Philadelphia Eagles huddle up for autism event also yesterday. So they took over Lincoln Financial Field for the Eagles Huddle Up for Autism event. And they partner every year with Children's Hospital of Philadelphia with CHOP. And so it's a great event. If you've never been to it, I highly recommend it. A lot of fun. They have all the mascots out there. And also, I think everybody was fired up for our Phillies home opener today. So a lot of people thinking, being sports minded. But every year they donate, a ton of money, and they gather up a lot of money every single year. Eagles, obviously, this has been, 17 years that they've been doing this Autism for Huddle event, and they raise money for research as well as CHOP. So this year they raised more than $217,000, but clearly over the 17 years they've raised millions of dollars all for this great local nonprofit. So we have that going on.
$217,000. That's only $100,000 more than we did for TMF. I got to tell you, I think that really highlights how good of a job we did. How about that?
Agreed.
Yeah,
thank
we hung
you.
In there with
yeah.
the, with
Look
the
at
Eagles.
Us.
Look at us.
Come on.
Yeah. By the way, did they invite Elon Musk?
Oh, Elon was busy in Wisconsin speaking.
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
He had donated the $1 million each to two different people, and those $100 checks for people who donated to his PAC, much like he did here in Pennsylvania, and it was challenged in the courts there and here, and he prevailed. So they have the big election tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
This election.
Did you see how much money he's pumped into that?
Oh, yeah, by the 20 way, million.
Is it 80?
Yeah, it's far and above by more than anyone else. So when everybody on this side of the aisle starts talking about quote-unquote boogeymen, billionaire boogeymen, just remember Elon Musk. That's all I'm saying.
I might actually, it's funny you say that. I was jotting a couple of things down last night. I think the number 80 million that Musk has pumped into this?
I saw
into
a graph.
Wisconsin?
I saw a graph, and Elon Musk is far, far and away the leader in pumping money into this race.
Yeah, here it is. The election. This is The Guardian. I think you sent this last night. The election has become the most expensive judicial election in American history, with more than $80 million spent on both sides so far. Might do a big take on Elon Musk against George Soros in the battle for control of the globe.
I just want to hear the words Musk-funded judges. Since we always hear Soros-funded DAs, I want to hear Musk-funded judges.
Oh, he's throwing a turd in the punch bowl already, folks. Get ready.
But we agree with him, so it's okay. It's okay.
Unfortunately, judges and DAs are political, and I hate that. I think that's one of the reasons why, that plus I hated law school. I don't think I could ever be a bought and paid for individual when it comes to the criminal justice system. I just want consistency in the application and the interpretation of law. That's what I want.
Okay. I will just say that until we change Citizens United, which was a horrible Supreme Court ruling where corporations are citizens or individuals, that's really, if we want to get our Venn diagram out and we want to do the root cause, as somebody once said.
I love Venn diagrams.
Thank you. But in all seriousness, the problem is that ruling, that we should just cut all of that out. And so, yeah, if you get your graphics out, Greg Stocker, and you look at, for example, in the last election, there were a ton of billionaires, you know, before they switched to the other side, who were donating to Democrats. And so the problem is that corporations are not billionaires, and we should return it the way it was. The Citizens United ruling is the real problem.
I'm going to take a completely different stance. I actually don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with it whatsoever.
I do.
People have money. They want to.
Corporations are not citizens.
Pump that money into elections. I have no problem with that. But we can't be half, you know, Soros funded. It's not. It's the same thing with Musk. It's just that you agree with this side.
So in a perfect world, would you like to see money out of politics, even though that'll never, ever happen?
It's never going
to
happen. I know. So it's a pipe dream.
Okay. I'm just saying, if you could have it that way, would you rather it be a free-for-all as a capitalist or no money in politics? And I know it's a complete fantasy hypothetical.
I would like to see no money in politics, yes.
Yeah, I think most people would.
Yeah.
And maybe not a year-long, you know, a year-plus-long campaign for anything.
Yeah.
That would kind of be nice, too.
I agree, yep.
So real quick, I'll say here, as we are, again, are sponsored by Piazza Auto Group, Philadelphia Phillies play the Rockies in the first of a three-game series, our home opener. So we're very excited for our home opener today, 3:05.
Yeah.
The real question is, will we get this game in? There is reported rain and rocky weather with a high of 76 degrees, but it looks like, right now, it looks like we'll get it in just fine.
Yeah, I was looking at the hour by hour this morning, and it's like, it looks like 7:30. Yeah. The rain's going to start. I mean, it's an 80% chance, so it's definitely going to rain, but it doesn't look like until later. So,
will fans be able to get their s'mores quesadilla for the first time?
If you're going down to the game today, Henry Machette from the Dom Show will be down there. He'll be doing live call-ins starting at, I guess, noon.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Woohoo!
Yeah, 3:05, first pitch on MLB Network.
So during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, get 2.9% financing for 72 months on the 2028 Tucson, Santa Fe, or Elantra. Visit Piazza Hyundai of Pottstown or Westchester for all the details, or shop online, piazzahyundai.com. Thank you, Piazza Auto Group, for sponsoring our first edition.
The YouTube chat is already on me because I must say this because so-and-so is my boss, so I have to defend him.
Right.
Boy, are you people delusional. Oh, my Lord. You have no idea. You guys have no idea.
I will be sending the Soros spanking machine video in the hall right here.
You have to say this. You have to say this because he's a boss.
The Soros spanking machine. Greg's going to go into it.
I don't have to say anything.
But Greg likes it.
I don't have to say anything.
Like
notice by what I say. I'm not here to make friends and, you know.
Oh, man. He's ready to go. Oh, it's going to be a week.
Yeah, it's Monday.
Let's have
it's
a Monday. Week.
Come on. Let's go. Come on.
No,
come on.
No,
who wants to fight? Come on.
Start.
Come on.
Soccer might get pulled over for a DWC. Driving while crazy.
Carl says, Monday morning, miserable stalker.
Oh, my favorite stalker.
You're damn right, man. Yeah. I was just like, that alarm went off this morning, and I'm just like, nope, not today, Satan. Not today.
You will not win. All right, let's get down to business. 6:12 on a Monday. It's time for another Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Which is brought to you by Natural Lawn of America. Small gains versus big goals. Last week was a very interesting week for the Democrats and the Trump administration. The left tried to turn a communication mistake into a tragedy. It wasn't. The left tried to double down on state-funded media. It goes against what America stands for. Meanwhile, Republicans shooting for major reform. The DOJ and FBI trying to curb domestic terrorism while simultaneously deporting imported terrorism in the form of illegal aliens and their connection to deadly gangs. Trump has signed off on a ton of executive orders regarding education and could very well be putting an end to sanctuary cities in the coming days. If you look at the stark contrast in the motives of the two parties, they couldn't be any more different. And this past weekend perfectly encapsulates the two different visions. Trump is focused on the economy with the implementation of tariffs, illegal immigration, and rounding up the bad guys for deportation and putting an end to the war in Europe. Democrats, meanwhile, are having a civil war of their own that stems around an identity crisis, loud commentary, no true leader, and figuring out what is a viable path to victory moving forward because woke doesn't work anymore. Democrats had a few small special election victories in the last week, another one on tap tomorrow in Wisconsin, but it's hardly a comeback. So how is Donald Trump and MAGA doing? Well, here was the latest polling results from CBS News and Face the Nation. Listen and watch.
This is a story about balance, and the things that are going well in the public mind for him is his handling of immigration, which is still net positive, and his deportation program is still net positive and popular.
Trump has a 50% approval rating overall in the latest CBS News YouGov poll, but he stands at 58% approval with immigration and deportation. On the other side, you have crazy left-wingers and their obsession with destroying Teslas to spite Elon Musk and instill fear in Americans. And it's happening here locally as well. Here was 6ABC with the news in Bucks County. Listen and watch.
Analyzing a Tesla outside of Planet Fitness in Doylestown on Monday morning, the victim says he found a swastika scratched into the side of the Tesla and then checked the vehicle's surveillance video, which, well, recorded the incident. Employees at Planet Fitness were able to identify the man. Central Bucks Regional Police say he faces criminal mischief, harassment, and disorderly conduct.
Well, the Doylestown dum-dum is identified as 55-year-old Chad Rittenbaugh. According to his LinkedIn page, he is described as, quote, an accomplished sales and operations management professional with 20-plus years of international experience in the hospitality and travel industries. He can now update his page and include soon-to-be convicted criminal. But let's stay with the theme of F around and find out, shall we? I'm old enough to remember people telling me that Donald Trump was Putin's puppet. Here's Philly girl Kristen Welker on NBC's Meet the Press yesterday. Listen and watch.
Just hours ago, President Trump called me to tell me he is, quote, pissed off with Russia's President Putin and threatened to impose secondary tariffs on Russia's oil. Quote, if Russia and I are unable to make a deal on stopping the bloodshed in Ukraine, and if I think it was Russia's fault, which it might not be, but if I think it was Russia's fault, I am going to put secondary tariffs on all oil coming out of Russia. Mr. Trump said 25% tariffs on Russian oil could happen any moment and told me he plans to speak with President Putin this week. The president told me, quote, I was very angry, pissed off when Putin started getting into Zelensky's credibility and started talking about new leadership in Ukraine.
Pissed off calling Kristen Welker? Does that sound like a man who's bending the knee to Russia? Methinks Orange Man's turning into Red Man if a deal doesn't get done. And I like that. This absurd, pointless war has gone on for far too long and needs to come to a close. But what about here, domestically? Tariffs go into place coming up on Wednesday, April 2nd. And you know the left will be peddling fear about the what-ifs. Well, if history is our guiding principle from the first time around, America is set to prosper. Here's Peter Navarro with Shannon Bream Sunday on Fox News. Listen and watch.
Trusted Trump. We have the example from the first term. We know that we imposed historically high tariffs on China. We imposed aluminum and steel tariffs. We imposed on washing machines, on solar. And all we got out of that, Shannon, all we got out of that was prosperity and price stability. And the reason why we're not going to see inflation is because the foreigners are going to eat most of it. They have to. We're the biggest market in the world, Shannon. And they have to be here. They have to be here. And so they're going to cut their prices to absorb that. But the bigger picture here is restoring the American manufacturing base. We don't have that. We're an assembly thing.
You know, we talk a ton about ditching college and the absurd costs along with the ideologies and moving to the trades on this show. if this manufacturing reboot occurs, there's going to be a lot of good-paying, hands-on, blue-collar jobs coming to Americans. So will the companies follow suit? Well, United Auto Workers President Sean Fain told CBS the following. Listen and watch.
There is plenty of opportunity, and I've had companies tell us point blank that they're going to have to bring product back here if those tariffs are implemented.
So, as Trump is focused on the meats and the potatoes, the Democrats and the far-left progressives, they're still meddling around in the appetizers and the hors d'oeuvres. Here was Bill Maher Friday night with California Governor Gavin Newsom as they talk about Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman. Listen and watch.
Okay, so John Fetterman was in the news today. He said, if you're talking about the Democratic Party, he said, if we don't get our together, we're going to be a permanent minority.
I agree.
I agree as well. Fetterman is completely spot on. The Democrat Party now sitting at a favorability rating of 26% with Americans. Why? Well, because they've catered to and continue to cater to the fringes. They don't cater to who Trump caters to, which is the masses. Here's Bill Maher chatting with John McWhorter, professor at Columbia and columnist at the New York Times. Listen and watch.
You mentioned the word woke. I want to bring this into this because I've had this discussion with a lot of people who don't like the fact that the word, the meaning of the word woke has changed. And I just say to them, it's crowdsourcing. You cannot control it. I get it. It triggers you because you think of the original meaning of woke, which is alert to injustice, which we're all for. But then I'm sorry, it became something else. The crowd decided that it was the word we're using for too far leftist crazy. It means eye roll. It means something stupid, in my view. And I just would love to know what you think about that.
It was inevitable that that was going to happen because a certain small but influential crowd of people were really obnoxious in 2020 and 2021. And so woke came to have that meaning.
It led to victory in 2020 and has single-handedly eroded the Democrat Party ever since. But last but not least, we have perhaps my favorite moment of the weekend. Do all of you happen to recall the illegal alien who doubled down as a social media influencer here in the United States? You might recall he was on platforms like Instagram and TikTok telling other illegal aliens how to squat in American homes. Perhaps this will refresh your memory. Listen and watch.
He pensado invadir una casa en United States, ya que me enteré que existe una ley que dice que si una casa no está habitada, podemos expropiarla. Capichi, muchachos.
Leonel Moreno, he invaded America in 2022 under Biden's open border. And guess what? The Trump administration has found him and deported him. Hey, Mr. Moreno, how do you say your time is up in Espanol? Perhaps Democrats can translate that for you on your way out. Because one party right now is carrying out the mandate of Americans that voted for this. The majority. And the other? Well, they're catering to Jasmine Crockett, who's auditioning for a lead role. One side is delivering results. Granted, there's been some drama along the way. The other side, it's just dishing out continual rhetoric.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Action to some of the stuff in the Big Take. You can reach us on social media at 1210 WPHT. And of course, let it rip in the YouTube chat and take a break from banging on Stalker and join the real conversation of the show. All right, Dawn, get your thoughts here. I look at Trump and I see, wow, okay, you called Kristen Welker right before her Sunday show and said, quote, I'm pissed at Putin. You're putting in tariffs into play on Wednesday. We'll see how that plays out. Meanwhile, the Democrats are just fumbling around and their followers are keying Teslas in a parking lot of Planet Fitness in Doylestown. Your thoughts on the two stark contrasts right now of the directions of the parties?
Well, I think first and foremost, number one, the Democrats have just lost their way and they're just searching for an identity, number one. Number two, as far as this look of, and I know there were many of you from our area, you were out, thank you for being out at the local Tesla dealerships, showing your patriotism, waving flags, because there were protests over the weekend. I just don't think it's a good look ever to protest a business that's in a community. I just think that's craziness. And so you just, the Democrats continue to look crazy. I mean, not all Democrats, the progressives are the ones out doing things like, you know, violence, starting fires, throwing Molotov cocktails, impeding other Tesla drivers on the roadways. Mm-hmm. None of this is a good look. You just look crazy.
You do. You do.
So the party of common sense always prevails.
I look at the levels to which they are going, and I'm all for protesting a business. You want to many others protested Bud Light, Target, Kohl's. I didn't throw a Molotov cocktail through their clearance window. Yeah. You know, I didn't go into a local distributor and grab a case of aluminum pints from Bud Light and then throw them at the cashier and walk out of the store. You talk about the escalation. We had escalation over the weekend. There was an absurd protest in New York City. Something like there was signage in New York's of "Burn Teslas, save democracy," I think was the slogan, yeah, which is just idiotic. So you're arguing that you're going to commit violence and break the law in order to preserve democracy? That sounds a little off to me. And then there was a guy out in the Midwest or the mountain region of the country, a mountain time zone, who, according to reports, if the news report was accurate of the local affiliate out there, I don't even know if it was a NBC or a CBS or a Fox affiliate, he apparently used his vehicle, I think, either to batter other cars or accidentally ended up hitting, or maybe even intentionally ended up hitting other people. You can't use, I think he was charged with aggravated assault. You can't use a vehicle to potentially injure other people. I mean, a vehicle is a deadly weapon. I mean, you could legitimately kill somebody. So you talk about the escalation. Okay, you want to protest that Tesla? I got you. Then you want to cut people off in the roadway, slam your brakes on and get out of your car? That's not nice. You could kill somebody. Then you throw Molotov cocktails. Then you set cars ablaze with five different Teslas being destroyed. Now we're talking about physical violence. At what point does some Democrat, Jasmine Crockett, Gavin Newsom, John Fetterman, any Democrat that's been in front of a microphone or a camera for the last 3 months, at what point does any of them sit there and step back and say, you know what, I need to hold an impromptu press conference and say, we respect your right to peacefully protest. We encourage you to continue protesting, Tesla, but we cannot cross a line here. We cannot go above and beyond the First Amendment. I haven't heard a Democrat say that yet. If there has been a Democrat that said it, it's probably a very moderate, quiet one like Ro Khanna that will probably never get picked up in the news cycle anyway, right? Because the mainstream media only covers six or seven of these marquee Democrats that love to create a soundbite, right?
Yeah, it's so true.
It really is. It's infuriating. And then on the other side, you've got Trump, which I'd love to get thoughts on this. Now, I can't sit here and say I watch Face the Nation or Meet the Press. I see clips, you know, whether it's in the social media sphere or with a cut sheet. Is that standard protocol for the president of the, quote, opposing party to call mainstream media? And what do you think the objective here was with Donald Trump to call Kristen Welker and let her know that he's pissed, not at Zelensky, he's pissed at Putin? What do you make of that?
To get that soundbite out there?
Yep. I think he does it. They all do it. He especially, he does it all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm not surprised by that.
Okay.
Because he knew that she would do exactly what she did.
I'm surprised she would throw the bone at, you know, she's throwing him a bone in many ways, right? Because he's labeled as Putin's puppet, and here he is basically saying, don't question Zelensky's authenticity. You heard the end of that clip where she quoted him verbatim, saying it's not on Zelensky right now. I think he's forcing both sides. And I love this because I'm sick of these wars. I'm tired of funding them with our tax dollars, for sure. I think he's going to force both of these buffoons to get it together and call a truce and end this right away. Not because I don't think he really cares so much about the other battles that other nations are fighting. This was one of his campaign promises. The longer this goes, the more it's reflective on him and his polling numbers. So I think he wants to get that finished. 855-839-1210. Now I got to get to this. This is a great story. This is phenomenal. Trump teases running for a third term. Quote, not joking. President Donald Trump, I'm reading this directly from Fox News, teased he might run for a third term, explaining to NBC News that he enjoys working and is, quote, not joking about making another run for the Oval Office. Quote, a lot of people want me to do it, Trump told NBC News in a phone interview yesterday. But I mean, I basically tell them we have a long way to go, you know. It's very early in the administration. For now, quote, he's focused on the current term, but told NBC he was, quote, not joking about making a run for a third term. For all of you history buffs out there and constitutional scholars, the 22nd Amendment of the Constitution, which was ratified in 1951, prevents individuals from serving more than two terms as president. Roosevelt died during his fourth term, and Vice President Harry Truman assumed the presidency. FDR remains the only president in the nation's history who has been elected and served more than two terms, which was largely due to the political and economic climate at home and abroad during World War II. Now, apparently there is a loophole in the Constitution. Quote, there are methods which you could do it, Trump said. The outlet floated a possible method, this is NBC, where Vice President J.D. Vance could run for the presidency in 2028. He could win and pass the torch to Trump. The president said such a scenario is one of the methods he could use to serve a third term, saying, quote, but there are others, too. Now, if you recall, Andy Ogles, Republican from Tennessee, a few months ago, very early after Trump was sworn into office, it was probably the last week of January, one of the last couple of days of January, started to draw up legislation to make this become a thing. So now, of course, people are going to have a meltdown. And I have a theory as to why Trump floated this out there. We'll get to that in a moment. But I want to play you this. Phil, this is clip K1. MSNBC yesterday, David Jolly, Don Calloway, and Alex Witt, wouldn't know the three of them if they walked into this studio right now, had a little bit of a meltdown, and pick up on what I believe will be the new clutch or the new catchphrase of the Democrats and the mainstream media this week. Take a listen and watch this.
Let's get to the other big headline now from that Kristen Welker interview with Donald Trump. When asked about a potential third term, he said, I'm not joking, but he says he's more focused on his current term. Joining me now, Don Calloway, Democratic strategist and founder of the National Voter Protection Action Fund. Susan Del Perzio, Republican strategist, and former Republican Congressman David Jolly, both former MSNBC political analysts. Quick reaction, guys, to that Trump comment, entertaining a third term. You first, David.
Believe him. I think the biggest mistake of the last 8 years is we somehow fail to give credibility to Donald Trump's whims and his impulses, but we know it's true. And January 6th was a perfect example. If he says that he's not ruling it out, he's not ruling it out, and we should consider it a constitutional threat.
Okay. Susan?
He's been pushing the envelope on testing the Constitution, so I expect, you know, that he'll continue to do that. Maybe by seeking out a third term. But more importantly, short term, we're not talking about Signal and that scandal if we are talking about Trump's third term.
Don?
Yeah, I think both of them are exactly right. Steve Bannon was on Joe Rogan's podcast the other day laying out the very groundling seeds of how it's going to go down. And he said, listen, we are working on it. And by we, I mean the same people who work at the Heritage Foundation and these other well-funded, well-organized think tanks who are laying together the groundwork for things that actually come to pass. And the mainstream media and all of us on the left kind of blow it off as silly or improbable or unconstitutional. That doesn't matter to these folks. And I think you should take a third term or an effort at a third term as a legitimate campaign promise at this point.
I love this story. When this story dropped yesterday in the late morning hours, I couldn't wait to talk about it. Let me say this. Would I love to see it? Trump and a third term. If it means defeating the Democrats, the answer is yes. If it simultaneously causes the left to melt down, the answer is yes. Do I think he will? No. It's 3 years from now, and he's also great at trolling. He's also good at rambling, and I think there's a theory behind this. I'll give that to you in a moment. Do I think if he wants to, he will win legally? Not sure. Would be interesting to see the legal interpretation from the country's top legal scholars and analysts, as well as SCOTUS. Would he even be cognitive enough to perform the functions at 81 or 82, whatever age he might be by the time 2028 comes around? Possibly. Definitely better than Joe Biden at that same age. Ask yourself this. What are the alternatives? Trump Jr., Vance, DeSantis? I got a text from my mother-in-law last night, and this is glorious. I have to read this. So when this happened yesterday in the morning, I sent the story. I actually saw it from the Daily Mail. I sent it to my wife, and I sent it to my sister and brother-in-law. And my mother-in-law's name is Judy. I said,
Do you just poke the bear all the time?
He does.
Well, you're a fine one to talk about poking.
Yeah, but
the bear.
I don't do that. I don't do that in my personal life. I do it on the radio.
Don't call his mother-in-law the bear.
Yeah, she's more like
sorry.
A
poke the bear.
Sorry,
she's more like I don't even know what she is.
Well, go ahead, Nick.
Well, yes, I do.
What?
I do poke the bear. So I purposely didn't send it to her because I don't think at the end of the day this will ever happen. So I sent it to my brother-in-law and my sister. I said, "Can you imagine when Judy sees this story? She's going to have a meltdown." I sent it to my wife. She laughed. She goes, "Don't send it to her. You're only going to rile her up." So last night I go to bed. It's, I don't know, 8:45, 11:38 p.m. I get a text. Now my phone's on do not disturb, so I don't see this till about 4:15 this morning. She sends me the link to the story from the Associated Press.
Uh-oh.
She says, "Here's the paragraph," and I showed this to Phil before the show, so this is authentic. I'm not lying. "I told you this was no joke, Nick, and his cronies who are scared to death of him will back him no matter what, even though they may know in their heart that this would be wrong. This guy seriously has issues. He's going to destroy everything this country has ever stood for."
Oh, boy.
As well as saying taking over Greenland by force, not off the table. Mean, who the F does this guy think he is?
He did say that.
Uh-oh.
So that's the text from my mother-in-law. And here's the thing. You heard one of the talking heads on MSNBC. Did you hear what they said? This is exactly what my theory is. They're all going to be talking about this week. They're going to talk about Trump in a third term all week long. And what are they not going to be talking about anymore? The Signal app.
Yeah.
Pete Hegseth.
Yep.
Mike Waltz.
Yep.
I don't know if this was Trump rambling. I don't know if this was Trump intentionally saying, "Let me throw a turd in the punch bowl," as Stocker likes to say, to draw the attention away from one thing to the other. But I want to get your thoughts. Dawn, Trump, third term. What do you make of it?
Let's do it, baby. No, I don't know. We were.
Do you think he's serious?
No, we were at a family dinner last night, and all conservatives, and so somebody, you know, just said, "Well, what do you think about?" And we all just chuckled. I mean, that was it. It was not even a conversation. We all just like know him. It's like, okay.
So is this an off the cuff, top of mind? He just said this and spits out whatever he spits because, you know, he just loves to fire things out with maybe not all the time thinking it through? Or is this an intentional deflection to get the media and the Democrats off of the administration's back following 4 or 5 days of Signal app conversation?
Yeah, part of it is he knows it'll change the narrative. And nobody's, you know, J.D. Vance and Usha were in Greenland and we have the Signal thing and we had a lot. Now, boom, what's everybody talking about? Mm-hmm. Something different. Then today at 1 o'clock, he holds a news conference and he signs more executive orders and boom, we're on to the next thing.
This week is Independence Week, isn't it? With the tariffs.
Independence Week?
Isn't that what we're calling it?
Who's calling it that?
The tariffs take effect on the 2nd.
Yeah, Wednesday.
On Wednesday, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I think they're calling it Independence Week.
Is that what they're calling it?
I think so.
Independence from what? Bad business deals?
Jesus.
So I thought that was fascinating. I think people are going to be talking about that all day today and throughout the week. I don't know if it was intentional, if this was a, hey, it's been a while. Because he was tweeting last night about Bill Maher.
Sorry, Liberation Day. Liberation.
Liberation Day. Yeah, we got Sunday Night Mean Tweets last night about the dinner with Bill Maher. Yeah. By the way, does anybody know if that actually occurred yet or that is now officially confirmed? I haven't seen that they actually met, although people were talking about it like it went down over the weekend. I didn't see any pictures of Bill Maher at Mar-a-Lago, so I don't know that that actually has gone down yet. But when it does,
well, they said
we have to talk about it.
They said by the end of the week.
Okay, by the end of the week? All right, fair enough. 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to jump in. We'll come back and get to a very interesting story when it pertains to driving under the influence. It's not what you think. It's Kale and Company, but first, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group. I recently test drove the new Honda Prologue, Honda's first all-electric SUV with a range of almost 300 miles on a single charge and a fast charge time. You can cruise the roads worry-free. Just don't be drinking too many caffeinated beverages while you do so. It has three charging options to choose from, including a portable charging kit for when you're on the go. Lease the Prologue today for as low as $229 per month. Visit Piazza Honda in Philadelphia, Pottstown, Springfield, Reading, or Langhorne for details. Shop online anytime, piazzahonda.com, and tell them Nick Kale sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
I don't even know how this is humanly possible, but this is a fabulous story. The Sun has this, and I say I don't know how this is possible because I don't know how officers would test you for this. Drivers now risk arrest and losing their license for drinking too much coffee.
Yep.
Before getting behind the wheel.
Got it. You have this, Dawn? You listening?
How high is this limit? So this is interesting. Several legal substances could lead to arrest. We realize that. Drivers risk arrest and losing your license for drinking too much coffee before getting behind the wheel in Texas now. So drivers can be pulled over and arrested. According to Texas lawyer Justin Sparks, who broke down the law, and in a video, if we could actually find the video for the cut sheet later in an hour, that would be cool, for driving under the influence, and it doesn't always mean having one too many beers. According to this attorney, in a YouTube short, Spark said in the video, alcohol, drugs, or even caffeine could lead to an arrest if a driver is caught being unsafe on the roads. DWI in Texas isn't just alcohol, he explains. However, legal substances can also have incredibly dangerous effects, like prescription pills or over-the-counter drugs. I think we all realize that. I never once thought about any caffeinated beverage, coffee, Red Bull, you name it. So this includes caffeine. When used in small doses, you know, it only creates a slight energizing effect. However, if a driver drinks too much coffee, they could start developing disturbing behaviors behind the wheel. A person who has consumed an extremely high amount of caffeine, Dawn, may demonstrate erratic behavior, experience jitterness, anxiety, or loss of focus. So here's my question. Now, they go on to write, essentially, any substance that impairs or intoxicates someone while driving can lead to the risk of a DWI. Furthermore, some states now have laws that prohibit driving under the influence of any substance that affects your ability to drive. The lawyer in the video admits, quote, we don't see this happening a ton, but we have to stress that many different substances could be grounds for a life-changing DWI charge. Now, I guess my question would be, let's just throw out an example here. You're driving 75 in a 55. State trooper pulls you over. Let's say it's Texas. Let's say it's Pennsylvania, and they had that in place here. How would they even begin to test you, whether it's, you know, chemically with some sort of piece of equipment or a device, or putting you through the test where you got to walk a straight line? I mean, if the cop pulls you over and it just sees you're, you know, you're a very upbeat individual, how do you even arrive at the suspicion that the person might have had 8 cups of coffee after 6 hours of radio?
I've never heard of this.
I've never heard of this either, and I don't even know how practically you would put this into play.
Can you?
We have a lot of cops in this audience.
Yeah.
I mean, is to my knowledge, there's no test to check your caffeine level on the fly, you know, on the shoulder of a highway. Now, sure, if you go to a doctor's office and you get your blood pressure checked, or you get, you know, maybe a blood test or something, your caffeine levels might be high, your heart might be pounding. Mm-hmm. I've had, and I think I mentioned this a year or two ago when Dawn recommended that I go to, a primary physician to get a physical. They were like, yeah, your heart rate is at like 205. And I'm like, well, I do have SVT. And they're like, yeah, that's
205.
Yeah, it was at 205 sitting still. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. They're like, are you feeling okay? I said, yeah, I feel great. They're like, well, how much caffeine did you have? I said, I had about a 16-ounce Yeti this morning and an 8-ounce Red Bull after a nap. I said, only 24 ounces of caffeine.
They didn't find that odd that you're sitting there?
Oh, they did. They said, you're not sweating. Your chest isn't pounding. You feel normal as can be. I said, yeah, I feel like $1 million. I was like, what do you got for me?
Boy.
You want to test me? Let's go.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I was sitting at 205.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is a chance that I could fall off this stool at any moment. So I'm just saying.
I mean, look, I wear my Fitbit here, and it measures heart rate and stuff, and you know, like when I get in the cardio zone, it's like 180.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's me running.
Right. Yeah, I'm usually 180 to 210 on a treadmill.
210.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's if I'm really cranking it, like 7.0 speed, two incline.
You should really get a smartwatch or a Fitbit. Sure.
I did have an Apple Watch, and I took it off eventually because when I was sitting on the couch, it would go off and say that I'm having like an SVT episode, which I was.
Jesus, man!
But I don't want to know. I don't want to know about it because the doctors have told me it's safe.
Don says you're the Nick Whisperer. Can you talk some sense into him, please?
Yeah, it's safe. You almost never end up having any issue with it. I had an ablation done 7 years ago. Very simple, painless procedure. They ablated two of the three electrical wires that were basically short circuiting. Is the way they explain it in layman's term. But they said the third one was actually in a real complex area in a certain part of my heart. And they said it's far more risky to go in and ablate the third one than it is to just let you live it out.
Coming this summer, Dawn and Company.
Oh, my God.
Have Farish on standby first.
No, I think... Okay. Yeah, so. I think the device is wear the Apple Watch again or
yes.
some kind of a
smart
device.
I would say no. I'm sorry, Dawn. I mean cut you off, but... I would say no to the Apple Watch. Yeah. Go straight to like Fitbit, or they have this ring too. It's like an Aura Aura ring or
the
something
ring.
Like that. That is, it's expensive, but it measures
Agreed.
Everything. Okay. I think you need to.
Well,
do
the doctors
that now.
The doctors told me just to take it off. They said it's going to dry you. Like, are you? They go, are you one of those? Are you one of those self diagnosing?
What's your doctor?
Dr. Bombay? Don't name him. Don't name him.
No. No, I went to a highly regarded cardiologist.
Do you still do Red Bull?
No, I switched to Celsius.
Bro, stop with the energy drinks, man. Yeah,
no caffeine.
No. Well, mild but caffeine, other bad stuff. But I think Greg's right, though. I would go to Fitbit or something to monitor that. Because it gives you a record. You can actually tie that record to the cardiologist so that they have a record of it. And they can monitor that and just make sure everything is...
Oh, it's great. When I was on the monitor they do it for like a 2-week stretch. They have this little machine they hook you up to. And I was sitting there and be watching baseball or whatever. And it goes up to like, my heart goes up to 190. Don't even know it. The doctor was like, they'll call you.
You're just sitting there and your heart goes up to one. Wow.
For like 80 seconds. And then it goes away. And then I won't have one for 10 more hours. But then I'll have one in my sleep.
Yeah, but...
Wow.
Yeah.
Somebody should be monitoring. I'm just saying. Oh.
No, I had three doctors like, the odds of you dropping dead or having any, what do they call it when your heart weakens? I forget.
Yeah, but this should be monitored. So the odds now, but that was, so I would just suggest.
They told me a better chance I'd hit Powerball. So I said, all right, fine by me. I feel great. But there you go. So don't tick me off, folks. Because you could lose your boy at any moment.
So driving driving with caffeine, huh?
Yeah.
Under the influence. Yeah. Wow.
I wonder what my heart rate is right now.
Here's the thing. They can certainly test for caffeine. When you said driving with a C, I thought it was going to be a cannabis.
No.
The word can. So.
Which I have an issue with that. I don't like that one bit. If you're driving under the influence of marijuana, you need to go to the can. Not the cannabis. The can. C-A-N. All right, although there's an interesting story out there that you can have, the Pennsylvania Shapiro was tweeting about this. You can have marijuana in your system for weeks. They pull you over. You could get a DWI while, quote, under the influence of marijuana, be completely fine, not be high, but the cannabis is still in your system, and you could face legal consequences, which then I do have an issue with that.
We need to have this conversation on the other side.
All right, let's do that when we come back. Kale and Company, we'll worry about my heart another day. It's Talk Radio 1210 WPHG.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.